firm a foundation, ye saints of the Lord, is laid for your faith in his excellent word. What more can he say than to you?
Does a believer need to make a public confession of his or her faith to be saved? Well, that's one of the important questions that our teacher, Dr. J. Vernon McGee, answers today as we continue our study in the New Testament book of Romans. I'm your host, Steve Schwetz, and I'm welcoming you today aboard the Bible bus for a journey that'll take us through some well-known and wonderful passages of Scripture. So grab your Bible and turn to Romans chapter 10, beginning at verse 7. And while you do that, let's welcome Through the Bible's President, Greg Harris, who joins us today. Welcome, Greg.
Thanks, Steve. Good to see you.
Good to see you as well. And our 50th anniversary year is coming to a close. It's hard to believe.
It is hard to believe.
We were talking about it coming, and now we're almost done. And it's been great as a time to reflect on what God's goodness has been to this ministry, hasn't it?
It has. As a matter of fact, the day that we're recording, you and I just came out of a board meeting, and we just took a retrospective of the last years and even going back a decade or so. And I think we all just marveled at how God continues to move this ministry forward. And we all looked at each other and said, it's not us.
Right.
It's God. God.
It is truly a blessing of the Lord. Now, as always, we try to incorporate some letters, so we don't have a lot of time. Let's try and get through these. The first one is a listener of one of our Bengali broadcasts from Rupali. She's an honorary member, by the way, of the World Prayer Team.
You have conferred that honor upon her, I think. Yes,
I have. Here it is. I am a housewife. For the past 5 years, I have been listening to the Jibon Bani program, which I'm assuming is
Bible. Very good. Yes.
In Bengali.
Mm-hmm.
I have learned so much and share it with my family. Before listening, poverty, pain, and sorrow occupied my life. I had lost hope and had no way to overcome our circumstances, but God's grace and your messages have become a continuous source of joy. With a new spirit, I have been able to move forward. This program has taught me that it is essential to pray for others. Therefore, I wake up every morning. This is so typically Indian,
yes,
by the way.
Yes, it is.
I wake up every morning, and I believe it's every morning, at 4 a.m. to listen, in which I sit and spend time with the Lord and pray.
And that's why you said she's an honorary member of our World Prayer Team. And you're highlighting something important, Steve, which is that our listeners around the world pray for us.
Right.
And they pray for the people that give to this ministry and pray for it. And it's a beautiful chain of God's people supporting each other around the world.
Yeah.
And now here's a letter we got from Mikal, who is a listener to our Czech broadcasts. I'm very thankful for your programs. Each message is a great source of nourishment, which my spirit, soul, and body have craved for years. Wow, very picturesque language. For a long time, I strayed from the Lord and led a sinful life. Now, through God's grace, I am able to hear his word again and experience his forgiveness. God bless you in what you are doing.
Wow.
Beautiful.
Just, again, another incredibly encouraging letter. And here's the last one we've got. This is from one of our Farsi listeners, and that is broadcast into Iran.
That's right. Mm-hmm.
I am a teacher in women's adult school. Since 2013, I have been one of your regular listeners. Usually there are four or five of us from my school that meet together and listen. I have converted to Christ, and since then I feel that the Lord opened my eyes. I am so eager to hear from the Lord, but unfortunately we have no access to the Bible. That is why we are so grateful for your broadcasts. Mm.
And Steve, just reading these letters today is a fresh reminder of why for 50 years we have been following the tradition that Dr. McGee started and the passion that he had to get the whole word to the whole world. As a matter of fact, in today's broadcast, he's gonna have a little fun with the idea of beautiful feet.
Yeah.
But really, as he's talking about that, he's talking about his passion and our passion to take the word of God across the mountains, across the barriers, like the one you just talked about in Iran.
We also want to thank those of you who have faithfully prayed for and supported this ministry, both this year and for many of you, even over the last 50 years.
Yes.
Thank you for that. And if you want to become a more active part of praying for this ministry, as always, I like to encourage you to join our World Prayer Team. Go to ttb.org/pray to get that done. Or you can also support us online, ttb.org/give. Greg, why don't you pray for us as we open the broadcast?
Father, we recognize your faithfulness every single day in our own lives and in this ministry. Thank you. Without you, we would not have life and breath and eternal life, and we thank you and praise you for that. We pray you'll bless us and teach us as we open your word today. In Jesus' name, amen.
Here's Through the Bible with Dr. J. Vernon McGee.
Now today, we come to the 10th chapter of the Epistle to the Romans, verse 11. It's where we got to last time, but I rather slighted, as many of you know, the verses immediately preceding this, and they're used so often I feel I should go back and say just a word. He says here, "Who shall descend into the deep," that is, to bring up Christ again from the dead, verse 7. "But what saith it?" That is the Scripture. "The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart," that is the word of faith which we preach. And by the way, he's quoting here from Deuteronomy, and now he makes this statement that is so abused today, I think that a great many feel like you've got to make a public confession of faith. And that's not what he's saying here. And let's understand what he's saying. "That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made to salvation." Now, will you look at that with me for just a moment? It does not mean to go forward in a public meeting in the church that I served. In 21 years, I saw many people come forward. They were not saved. Great many people think that if you make a public confession, all Paul is saying here, and it's very important to see what he's saying, is this: that man needs to bring into agreement his confession and his life. Now, the mouth and the heart should be in harmony. They'd be saying the same thing, because it's with the heart that you believe. And heart here, I think, means total personality, your entire being. But you see, there are people that say something with their mouth. They give lip service to God. But their heart, God says, the Lord Jesus says, their heart's far from me. Now, all he's saying here is this: that you be dead sure that when you make a public confession, if that's what you think it means, that your heart is right along with you, and that you're not just saying some idle words that mean nothing today. And there's a great deal of that. If there is confession without faith, it's due either to self-deception or to hypocrisy. And if there's faith without confession, it may be cowardice. It seems to me that Paul is saying here what James said, and he's saying James is accurate. Faith without works is dead. And if you're going to work your mouth, be sure you've got the faith in your heart, my friend. That's what he's saying here. And it means that the resurrection is the heart of the gospel. He was delivered for our offenses. He was raised for our justification. Now, verse 11, and we are here now, "For the Scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed." And what he's saying here, they'll not need to make haste or not be confounded. It's the same word both in the Old Testament and in the New Testament. And what he's saying here, it's a by faith righteousness. And it's taught in other passages of the Old Testament. And this passage also shows the universal character of salvation. Because the important word here, after all, is this: whosoever believeth in him. Doesn't need to make haste. Never be confounded. It's faith in Christ that's important. Now, verse 12. "For there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek. For the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. Now, there is no distinction between the Jew and the Greek today." That is, for the very fact of the matter, in this age, all have sinned, come short of the glory of God. All, if they're to be saved, must come the same way to Christ. "No man cometh to the Father," the Lord Jesus said, "but by me." You can't go by the ritual of the Old Testament. You cannot go by the law. You have to come today. Doesn't make any difference what your race is. You come the same way, by faith. and it's offered on the same basis of mercy by faith. That is the proposition Paul is putting down here. Now he says the present salvation is for both Jew and Gentile. Now he's opened that subject up. Hear and believe the gospel. Listen to verse 13. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Now that's a remarkable statement. Paul is actually turning to the Old Testament. There are 8 quotations from the Old Testament in this chapter, and 30 quotations in this division, chapters 9, 10, and 11. And the quotation logically follows verse 12. But it makes very clear that both Jew and Gentile are call on the Lord, not do something for salvation. All you have to do is call on him, friends. To call upon the Lord means to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, he says, how then shall they call on him in whom they've not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they've not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. Now, it's necessary to understand and appreciate Paul's position here. His own people hated him as the apostle, but they applauded Paul, or Saul of Tarsus the Pharisee, and he's showing here the logic of his position. They rejected his claim or the right to any of the apostles to proclaim a gospel that omitted the Mosaic system, which had degenerated into Judaism. Now, Paul shows that there must be messengers of the gospel who have credentials from God. And Paul began his epistle with the claim, he says, Paul, a called apostle of Jesus Christ. Now, there follows here this logical sequence. Preachers must be sent in order for people to hear that they might believe. They did not know how to call upon God. And Paul pinpoints all on believing. And this, therefore, necessitated his ministry. And that is the thing that he's saying here. And he's quoting, by the way, from Isaiah about how beautiful are the feet of those. I very frankly feel like this radio program is important. I'm giving the rest of my life to it, to get out the word. But when he quotes, you are beautiful of the feet. Now, I'm down here making tapes today, and better not tell you the time, because I found out that people think I'm there at the time they hear it, and I may even be in their neighborhood at the time. But I do not even have on any socks today. I'm just sitting down here in my study, in my bare feet, if you want to know the truth. And I've just looked down here at my feet, and they're not beautiful, friends. One of the things about feet is that they are not an object of beauty. But here is something Dr. Lang said. In their running and hastening, in their scaling obstructing mountains, and in their appearance and descent from mountains, they are the symbols of the earnestly desired wing movement and appearance of the gospel itself. And that's one of the reasons that I love the opportunity of radio today. We can scale mountains. We can go over the plains and vast expanse of sea and water. And we can go into the inner recesses of the earth today with the gospel. And we can go into the homes, into the automobiles, into the businesses. And we found that we've been in some unusual places. We've been in bar rooms with the gospel by radio. Oh, may I say to you, that's what he means, that it's wonderful to get the word of God out. Now, verse 16. But they have not all obeyed the gospel, for Isaiah saith, Lord, who hath believed our report? And we rejoice here on radio the number that write in and tell us they've accepted Christ, and it's amazed us how many. But when you look at the total picture, it's really a very small percentage, by the way. Who has believed our report? Now he goes on and says, verse 17, so then faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the word of God. And friends, I come back to this. I think this is God's method. I may sound like a stuck record to you, but I must say this. I believe that it's not actually by preaching philosophy or psychology or some political nostrum. But I believe that today it's the preaching of the Word of God. It's not what I think. It's what the Word of God says. Faith cometh by hearing. Hearing what? Hearing by the Word of God. And until you hear the word of God, you can't be saved. Oh, how important that is. Verse 18, but I say, have they not heard? Yes, verily their sound went into all the earth, and their words to the ends of the earth. I would not want to say that Paul had this in mind, because I don't think he did. And I don't think that it has reference to radio. But I do want to say this. It sure has application there, that the sound has gone out today. And it's a marvelous way of getting the word of God out. And you don't have to listen to it. Probably a very small percentage do. And I'm amazed that anybody listened to us, but they do. And we believe that God today will bless his word. Now will you notice, but I say, did not Israel know? First Moses saith, I will provoke you to jealousy by them that are no people, and by a foolish nation I'll anger you. And he's quoting here, of course, from Deuteronomy 32, verse 21. And what he's doing today is just simply this. God is calling out a people among Gentiles today. And he's going to develop that in the next chapter, by the way. Verse 21, but to Israel he saith, all day long have I stretched forth my hands unto a disobedient and gainsaying people. And have you ever stopped to think how tiresome it is just to hold your hands out? You try that. Just hold your hands out. See how long you can do it. That's the most tiring thing in the world that you can do. Just hold your hands out. You remember Moses went and prayed for Israel, and Aaron had to prop up his hand because he got tired holding them up toward God. But God says, I've been holding out my hands to a disobedient people. No one knows how gracious God has been to the nation Israel. And Stephen's final word to this nation is revealing. He says, ye stiff-necked and uncircumcised in heart and ears, ye do always resist the Holy Spirit. Now, that's not confined to just those people. That could be said today, that he's holding out his hands today to a gainsaying world. I marvel at the patience of God. I'll be honest with you, and I do not mean to be irreverent. If I was running this show today, this little earth down here, I'd make a lot of changes. I tell you, I'd move in. But you know, he's just holding out his hands to a gainsaying world today. Now when we come to chapter 11, we see God's future purpose with Israel. He's gathering out a remnant and has been now for 1,900 years, and he's going to redeem a nation someday. That's exactly what he's saying in chapter 11. Chapter 9, God's past dealings with Israel. Chapter 10, God's present dealings with Israel. He's saving those that will come to him through Christ. Now, what's his future purpose with Israel? Well, we find out that the remnant today will be regathered as a nation and redeemed in the future. That's God's future purpose. But the remnant of Israel today is finding salvation. And that's in the first six verses. Will you notice it? Listen to Paul. I say then, hath God cast away his people? God forbid. What people is he talking about? Israel, friends. And in case the amillennialist misses this, Paul put it here so he wouldn't miss it. And he put it here so the liberal wouldn't miss it either. Hath God cast away his people? God forbid. For I also am an Israelite of the seed of Abraham, of the tribe of Benjamin. Now, if I didn't have any other scripture but this, and I've got thousands of scriptures, by the way, to back this up, but if I didn't have any but this, it would be sufficient. God has not cast away Israel as a nation. Just because he has a present purpose today of calling out a people throughout the world, and Paul makes that purpose very clear in this chapter here. And it's true that he's talking about those that are descended from Abraham. And Paul says he's of the tribe of Benjamin, and it means the 12 tribes of Israel. He belonged to a tribe that never seceded from the nation. He could not be called a disloyal Israelite. He was an Israelite 100%. Now, verses 2 and 3. God hath not cast away his people, which he foreknew. What ye not, or know ye not, what the scripture saith of Elijah, how he maketh intercession to God against Israel, saying, Lord, they've killed thy prophets, dig down thine altars, and I'm left alone, and they seek my life. Now, I love this. Paul uses old Elijah's an illustration, and believe me, he makes a good one. Now, Elijah stood for God, and he stood alone. I admire that man standing alone yonder on the top of Mount Carmel. Here is a man standing for God, and Noah stood alone for God. But here, Elijah goes to the Lord to complain. He says, I'm alone, no one. And God says, wait a minute, you think you're alone, but you're not. And he says that there's 7,000 that never bowed the knee. God has always had a remnant. Now, these are the folk God has chosen. And when he says, notice what he says here, verse 4, but what saith the answer of God unto him? I have reserved to myself 7,000 men who've not bowed the knee to Baal. And if there were 7,000 men, about twice as many women, if you go by the percentage. And that'd be quite a few. That was a remnant of the nation. And Elijah was totally unaware that God was working in the hearts of 7,000 men. There was a good remnant in the days of Ahab and Jezebel in that northern kingdom. Now, verse 5, even so then at this present time also, there's a remnant according to the election of grace. Now, God has always had a remnant in the nation Israel. Now, that remnant today are those that are in the church. They have accepted Christ. And that's the reason Paul's going to be able to say all Israel's not Israel. Verse 6, and if by grace, then it is no more of works. Otherwise, grace is no more grace. But if it be of works, then it's no more grace. Otherwise, work is no more work. In other words, grace and works represent two mutually exclusive systems. They're diametrically opposed to each other. And the remnant at this time are those that are not saved by works or by merit, but they're saved by the grace of God. That is what Paul is saying. The future purpose of God from the day Paul wrote down to the present is those that will accept the grace of God. Now, what about the others that don't accept? Well, the remainder of Israel is hardened in verses 7 through 10. And they were hardened, notice this, because they fail, and they did not fail because they were hardened. There are a lot of folk get the cart before the horse. In fact, they get the horse in the cart, and he doesn't belong there. Notice verse 7. What then? Israel hath not obtained that which he seeketh for, but the election hath obtained it, and the rest were blinded. Now, were they blinded, and then they didn't come? No. They were exposed to the gospel as no people had been exposed to. And God said, I've held out my arms all day long to this people. And it's difficult to do that. He's patient with them. Now, they are blinded because they would not accept the light. That is the important thing. Now, will you notice verse 8? According as it is written, God hath given them the spirit of slumber, eyes that should not see, ears they should not hear unto this day. They had rejected. And when a man rejects, he becomes the most difficult object to try to reach with the grace of God. I wish I had time to deal with that in detail. Now, verse 9. And David said, let their table be made a snare and a trap, and a stumbling block and a recompense unto them. Now, the table has reference to feasting, which is representative of material prosperity. The children of Israel had great feasts at which they were actually guests of God. They didn't invite God in as the pagans did. God invited them in. And the Passover was that kind of a feast. Now, the thought is that they are feasting in a conceited confidence which is entirely pagan. Their carnal security deceived them as to their true spiritual ruin. They trusted the things they ate without any true confidence in God. And my friend, that is the condition at the present moment of multitudes of church members. Now he says, let their eyes be darkened that they may not see and bow down their back altogether. God gives light in order that men might see, but if they're blind, then they won't see. And the light reveals the blindness even today of multitudes of people. I'm amazed that so many smart people just don't seem to understand what the Bible is all about. Now, we're going to have to leave off right here today. Until next time, may God richly bless you, my beloved.
Well, Dr. McGee covered a lot of ground today. So if you'd like to spend a little more time studying these verses yourself, I'd invite you to visit ttb.org, where you can listen to today's message and any of our studies in Romans again. While you're online, take a look at our new 2018 Through the Bible Wall Calendar. Dr. McGee founded this ministry on Revelation 3:8, which says, "I have set before you an open door, and no one can shut it." Well, in this beautiful new calendar, let us take you around the world every month through an open door, prompting you to pray for open Bibles and open hearts. It's a calendar that you'll love to look at all year long. They're just $10 each. While supplies last, you can order yours online at ttb.org or give us a call at 1-800-652-4253. And join us back here on Monday as our journey through the glorious book of Romans continues. I'm Steve Schwetz, and I'll be here saving you a seat on the Bible bus.
Unto him I owe, sin had left a crimson stain.
We're so grateful for the faithful and generous support of Through the Bible's partners, who are being used by God to take the whole word to the whole world.